Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 7. It's going to be part 2 from Sunday evening's message, where we looked at the life of David, and in particular why it is that God chose him. And I mentioned in that message that God took David from the prairie to the palace. And I want to read the two verses that express that to us again here in 2 Samuel chapter 7 in verses 8 and 9. It says, "Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth." Let's pray. Lord, bless again tonight as we focus on the life of David and how it is that you took him from the prairie, from watching just a few sheep, to the palace where he was ruler over an entire nation. And Lord, perhaps it would be inappropriate for us to live our lives in a manner so that we would be promoted. But yet I pray that we'd understand the need to be faithful in the least of things, so that you could give to us greater responsibilities and that we could fulfill those responsibilities for thy glory. And so, Lord, bless as we focus on this subject tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We saw on Sunday that God did not choose David because of his outward appearance. That seems to be part of the reason why the people were enamored with King Saul when he was anointed king, because he stood head and shoulders above the rest. But David was not chosen for his physical stature either. He was a relatively short man, especially in comparison to Saul. No, it wasn't David's outward appearance, his beauty. It wasn't his physical stature. Instead, it was because he had a heart after God's. And we too should strive to have a heart after God's, or a heart that is like unto the Lord's. But what I want to focus on tonight in the message was the fact that David was faithful in little. Luke 16, verses 9 and 11, it says, "And I say unto you," Jesus is speaking, "make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness." And he's saying this right after he gave a parable highlighting the wisdom of a secular steward. And he said, "that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least," and in this particular context, that would refer to money, "is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." You know, another way of saying that is, if God cannot trust you with your money, or we might say his money, he cannot trust you with anything else. "If therefore," it says, "if ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" Notice money is not considered true riches, although that's what the carnal man thinks. That's what the natural man thinks. You know, while most people would say, oh, the best things in life, you know, you can't pay with money, they live their lives like money is everything. And you know, I've even noticed amongst my own children, you know, and that's because I instill in them the need to work and to work hard to provide for yourself and eventually to help and to give to others. But there can, you know, there's kind of a fine line because you can get an attitude where accumulating money and wealth consumes you. And the Lord wouldn't have that of us. In the Proverbs, the author asks God to not make him rich and to not make him poor. Because he realized that if he was poor, he might curse God. But if he was rich, he might forget God. And so instead he asks for just that which is necessary. And that's probably the best place to be in. You don't have an overabundance. You don't have too little. Your needs are met. You can put back for retirement maybe and be content with that. But what Jesus is saying in these passages is, if I can't trust you with money, I probably can't entrust you with greater responsibilities. I cannot probably trust you with things that are much more important to me. Or if you're not faithful in little, you'll not be faithful in much. You know, David was faithful in the little things. He performed his tasks many times when everyone else was busy having fun. In 1 Samuel, this is, I think, where we were Sunday night. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, this is where Samuel had come to David's village to anoint the next king. And as Samuel came, he was going to hold a tremendous feast. And Jesse was invited with all of his household, and I mentioned that on Sunday. And many of the townsmen and their families were also invited to participate in this somewhat abnormal occurrence. It wasn't every day that someone like Samuel, who you could say was, you know, the number two man in the nation of Israel, and it wasn't every day that somebody like that came to your small town throwing a huge feast. Samuel came. And David's brothers and David's father and perhaps many of David's friends, his own peers, met for the meal and the fellowship and to watch the anointing of the next king. And he would have to miss out on all of this. And why? Because he had to stay back and watch those few sheep. Can you put yourself in the shoes of David for a moment? What a disappointment. Most of you would say, bummer. I can only imagine how disappointed he was as a young man to miss out on all the festivities. But you know, this wasn't the only time that David encountered this type of thing. In chapter 17, notice in verse number 12, it says, "Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 oldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle." Notice down at verse 14, "And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went in return from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." Now, I know for some, this is a scene that's hard to fully comprehend and appreciate, but probably not for a lot of young men. Because here, David is the youngest of these eight brothers, and he's watching his older brothers pack up their bags, figuratively speaking, picking up their muskets, which probably would have been more like swords and shields, and heading off to fight for their country. And I know the left in this country has conditioned us today to think that we're not supposed to like to fight and we're not supposed to like the battle. But folks, there are some things that are worthy of fighting for, that are honorable to fight for. And it used to be in this country that to fight for your country and to fight for freedom and to fight our enemies was noble and honorable and desired. And that's the way it was in Israel. And David's watching as his three older brothers march off and his father's eyes and heart pounding with pride. But does he get a go? No. He don't get to do that task that most of us would consider to be more important and more glamorous. No, instead, he had to actually come back from the palace where he was working for King Saul to feed the sheep. But he was faithful. Maybe he would rather have been at the feast. Maybe he would have rather to be fighting alongside his brothers and his king. But that's not the task that God gave him to perform. That's not the task his father had given him to perform. He was to watch the sheep. Maybe there are times in your own life where you can relate to this, where you watch how the rest of the world is living a life of rest and leisure. They're having fun. And you're missing out on all the activities because you are attempting to follow the Lord. You know, rest and leisure will never merit anything from God, not in this life, and not in the next. Not for David, not for me, and not for you. But faithfully fulfilling our responsibilities and the tasks that God has given to us, that will. And so regardless of the task that God gave you, and regardless of how small it is, you know what? You do that task faithfully. For some of you who are extremely young, maybe you have been given one task by God, and that is to honor mom and dad. And you know what? You should strive to do that faithfully. They give you chores. Maybe your chore is to take out the trash. Maybe your chore is to wipe the table, to do the dishes, to mow the grass, whatever it might be. Don't consider that task menial, don't consider it unimportant. Consider it training ground. God is training you for larger tasks that He'll only give you if you perform that smaller task faithfully. Maybe here at the church you have a task. Maybe what you do is play the piano or take up the offering, or clean the church, or mow the grass, or teach a Sunday school class. Whatever your task might be, regardless of how small you think it is, do it faithfully. Just like David performed his task faithfully. rescuing the lambs from a bear and a lion, you'll recall. But not only did he perform his task faithfully, he performed his task with all of his strength. In 1 Samuel 17, in verse 32, David had been sent of his father now to the battlefront to take his brother's supplies. Of course, he had no idea what this would eventually lead to. But in verse 32, you all understand the context when I read it. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him, Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose again, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." I mean, you get the idea, right? David performed his responsibilities with all of his strength. He didn't just dismiss this lamb because, well, it's only one. I mean, I've kept the 99 safe. Dad's not going to miss one. I mean, little Bertha there, she's about ready to give birth to a little lamb anyway, so it'll be replenished. But he didn't say to himself, "I'm not fighting a lion. I'm no match for a bear." I mean, probably in reality, he probably wasn't. But boy, God watched this young man embrace his responsibilities with all of his heart. And God blessed him for it. And you see how David was already creating good habits? In reality, he was no match for a lion, and he was no match for a bear, and he was no match for Goliath. But he knew his God was. And he was in the habit of trusting the Lord to help him overcome things that were far greater than he was. He performed his task with all of his strength. And by the way, he performed his task until his father gave him a new one. In verse 28, this is kind of what we just saw. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou hither, and with whom hast thou left these few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thine honesty of the heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." Of course, this was a false accusation, because it was Jesse that sent David to go to his brothers. Notice in verse 20, when David was coming to his brothers, that David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. He didn't leave them alone. He found someone to take his place, and now he is marching on to fulfill this additional responsibility that his father had given him. He wasn't going down to seek his own glory or to even see the battle, though he probably was excited about seeing the battle and finding out what his brothers were up to. But the thing I want you to notice is that he performed his task of watching the sheep faithfully until his father gave him another task. You know, David would later serve under King Saul. And you know what? He served under King Saul faithfully until God made him king. And he never sought to interject his will and his desires to be king. He never tried to manipulate things to his advantage. And by the way, if you're familiar with the political climate of any company or office in the Lamb, that's exactly what takes place. Everybody maneuvering and positioning themselves so they're at the right place at the right time to get the promotion above everybody else. David never did that. He always just waited on God. And so do your task until God gives to you a new one. God brought David from the prairie to the palace. It says that in 2 Samuel 7:8, which we already read. It speaks of that in 1 Chronicles 17:7. It also says this in Psalm 78. He chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. There's three different times that God basically says the same thing, that he took David from the prairie to the palace. From being a faithful shepherd to being a faithful king. Jesus said in Luke 16, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit your to your trust the true riches? Are we faithful in that which is least? Of course, I could give you a list of things. The Bible tells us one, money, right? Are we faithful in our tithe and in our giving? Are we faithful in our attendance? Are we faithful in reading our Bible? Are we faithful in telling others about the Lord? Are we faithful in these things? Because these are some of the elementary tasks committed to every believer. Do we fulfill them with all of our heart? And are we determined to perform those tasks until the Lord gives us a new one? I trust that you are. You know, in many respects, what we see here of David was also true of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know exactly all that goes on in heaven, but I got to think it's a much more joyful and meaningful place than earth. And yet Jesus left the festivities of heaven and he came to the follies of earth. Quite a demotion, wouldn't you say? Given, I guess, what many people would think of a menial task, dying for sinners. Now, we know it's not so menial, is it? But it certainly is humiliating. Of course, this demonstrates that Jesus gave the task that his Father gave to him his all. He left nothing on the altar. He surrendered all. Gave his life. And he saw the task through to the end. No matter the difficulties, no matter the hardships, he never gave up. He never quit. He saw the task through to the end. And then his Father gave him a new task. To sit at the right hand of Him, making intercession for us. So whatever your task is, do it faithfully. Do it with all of your heart. And do it until God calls you somewhere else. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God and what an example we have in David. Lord, I think it's difficult to overestimate the importance of these passages. Lord, David was taken from nowhere, from a prairie, to where he was holding the most prominent position in the world at that time. And Lord, I believe much of it was because he was faithful. I don't believe he would ever have been given additional responsibilities of thee had he not been faithful in performing his tasks the way that he did. And God, might this be encouraging to us, might it motivate us to go about our duties faithfully. And whatever the world and the devil and our flesh throws at us, might we persevere through trials and temptations and see our responsibilities through to the end. And Lord, even amongst some of the people that's here and that's a part of this church, Lord, as they're faithful in that which is least and that which is little, might you grant to them greater responsibilities that they could also faithfully fulfill for thy glory. And Lord, in the end, might you promote them to the positions that you would have them to serve throughout all of eternity. Lord, if we're lacking in some area in our life and we're not being as faithful as we should, help us. Help us to get our lives on track and to be faithful in that which is least, that we might be able to take on additional responsibilities for thy glory. So bless in the message, use it in the hearts and lives of thy people. And Lord, if there's any in our midst tonight that's not saved, use the message to draw them to Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed for prayer.